The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this rainy, weird, just gloomy Friday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. It is the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, with you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Carter, happy Friday, man. It is a great day to be representing the Lee Scott Warriors, who are heading to Montgomery next week to play in the state championship game of the AISA playoffs. We called the game last night of the semifinals. Lee Scott defeated Valiant Cross 41-0 in a monsoon game, but Lee Scott didn't slow down one single bit. Lee Scott heading to the state championship game.
Yeah, I mean, what a performance in the rain and the wind. The field goal net almost blew down a few times. The rain was sideways. If you were listening to the broadcast, my broadcast partner, his window was fogging up and he couldn't see.
It was.
But
it was fogging up.
It was a dominant performance, especially in the second half. To score 27 points in a game like that and really put it away, phenomenal performance by Lee Scott. The defense, specifically our guy Dallin Bush, with the interception, a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, had a breakout game. George Myers on offense as well, running for like 120 yards and three touchdowns. It was really all around great performance, especially considering the circumstances. That was the one thing that we talked about going into that game, was the only way that we felt that they could put themselves in jeopardy is if they turned the ball over a lot and put the ball on the ground. They only did that once, which was significantly better than the opponents. They played a much cleaner game, and that's why you've seen this Lee Scott team dominate all year long.
Lee Scott heading to the championship game on Thursday. Of course, we had to give the shout-out. Carter and I are with the Lee Scott Sports Network, and we had a really good time last night calling Lee Scott football as they get all the way to Montgomery. They play the winner of Glenwood and Morgan Academy. Those two teams play tonight, so we'll see who wins in that matchup and who Lee Scott will be taking on in Montgomery next week. Auburn High plays their quarterfinal game tonight at home against Dothan. That'll be kickoff at 7. You can catch the broadcast over on Wings 94.3 with Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Cudden. They will be over on Wings 94.3, our sister station here at Auburn Network. Broadcast time at 6:30, kickoff at 7. So you can catch that again on the Auburn High School Sports Network on Wings 94.3. But we've got a great show on tap for you today. It's your typical Friday show here on the Line. First hour, we're going to talk some Auburn stuff. We're going to talk the games going on around college football this weekend. And then in hour number two, Jack Cudden will join us in studio. Just got confirmation that he will be joining us.
Yes, yes. No, he will be here as always. It's going to be our second hours on Fridays are so interesting.
They're something. Interesting, hectic, and whatever word you want to use. We'll make all of our picks for the games coming up this weekend in college football in hour number two, so we're looking forward to that.
By the way, before we talk about, I guess, college football, I want to ask if you saw what is going on in college basketball today with the Michigan State-Gonzaga game playing on an aircraft carrier. You know, the issue with that is, when you play on an aircraft carrier, the game is outside and there's wind and weather and it's just generally wet when you play on a boat.
You never grew up playing in the park?
Well, they're having issues already before the game even remotely comes close to starting with the background for shooters, the status of the court. The over-under has dropped 5 points in an hour and a half today.
if you are that much of a gambler to where you bet on a basketball game being played on a aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean, I just don't think that's a smart bet.
If it's in the middle of the ocean, well, it'd be even more
nuts. You're playing on an aircraft carrier. I don't care where you are. You're playing on a boat. Like, there's no way to judge how that game is going to go.
So the over-under started at 10:30. It was, I believe, 147.5. I think at 11:25, it was at 142.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, that's actually crazy.
Because word got out about how bad the conditions are going to be in that game, and there's like 8 or 9 mile an hour wind, which is going to affect everybody's shot from
three. You just shoot with the wind. I mean, everybody did it growing up playing outside in the driveway. If it's raining or the wind's blowing, I think you maybe just shoot it a little bit more to the right to get it to go in.
I think it's different when you're a couple hundred feet up in the air on top of the deck of a ship, literally in a harbor by the ocean with the wind that comes off the ocean.
Look, man, I can't just adjust. That's all I can say. Adjust. I mean, when you're playing in the park or playing in the driveway, just because the wind's blowing a little bit doesn't mean anybody's going to take it easy on you. Just adjust.
I just love that, like, we've done this before, and yeah, apparently we learned no lessons.
And imagine,
the first time,
who came up with this? They said, who looked at the aircraft carrier one time and said, I would love to play a basketball game on that thing. Let's do it.
UNC and Michigan State that did it the first time, and they wore like camo jerseys.
Well, I think they're wearing some sort of camo jerseys tonight too, Michigan State and Gonzaga, which I'm upset that is being played on an aircraft carrier, because that could be a really good basketball game, and you're talking about all of the things that are impacting the game tonight. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be enjoyable to watch with it being played on a boat. So we'll see. I'm excited, though, for college basketball to be getting started. This is really the first big matchup we've had all season long. But I will be at Auburn, South Florida tonight, so I probably won't even get to watch it anyway, because I'll be at the Auburn game tonight. Are you going tonight?
I believe I am. As of now, I am.
As of now. Okay. Well, yeah, Auburn gets their second game of the season going, so I guess we'll actually start with that, because Auburn has their second game of the year tonight. Of course, they beat George Mason in game one on Monday. They now have South Florida coming in to Neville Arena tonight at 7 o'clock. If you remember, Auburn went and played at South Florida last year. Didn't play a great game, but they end up coming out with a win early on in the season. So now they have South Florida coming in. I have not looked at the spread for that. I'm about to pull it up right now. Auburn tonight, South Florida lost their first game, and so Auburn is favored by 20 tonight. So that should sort of show you the mismatch that Auburn will have tonight in Neville Arena.
Yeah, I would expect Auburn to be closer to full strength. Everybody kind of coming off those illnesses and injuries that they had. I think Chance Westry is getting closer. I don't think he'll play tonight, but I think you could see him relatively soon, and I'm looking forward to seeing him out there and seeing what he adds to this team. I think that he is somewhat of a missing piece, somebody who can kind of get into the middle of the paint, pass out to guys for open shots, and also make plays at the rim. Auburn doesn't really have that at a guard position right now. That's not really Wendell Green's game. That's not really Zeb Jasper's game. It's Katie Johnson, but he doesn't really pass once he gets in the paint. He's throwing a body around and hoping he gets to the line.
Katie Johnson, not just will he not pass when he gets into the paint. If Katie Johnson touches the basketball, there's a pretty good chance he's not going to pass. And when he starts dribbling through the legs, you can just go ahead and call everybody off. He's calling ISO. That is his signal. He says, get away. I'm going ISO. I'm either going to shoot on a step back three, or I'm going to run to the rack and try to find a body, because that's just what KD Johnson does. I like the guy. I like the player. But I've talked about before how I wish KD Johnson would slow down a little bit and play for the points and not for the contact.
Yeah, to an extent sometimes, although I do think it does have value for him, especially if you have somebody that you are trying to target almost.
Right, there's a time and place for it.
To rack up fouls. I do like the idea that he could just hammer away at that person until he gets that person in foul trouble. We saw how big he can he can be in certain spots. Like last year in the UConn game when he just willed them into overtime and double overtime and just coming back the whole way. Mm-hmm. It was a phenomenal game by him in that one. The shooting from the outside still hasn't really come back yet. Hope that turns around soon.
Yeah, KD Johnson is that player that you hate on the other team, but you love on your team, right? I mean, he is that type of player where when you see him on the other team and you're having to play him, you're like, man, I really just hate this guy. But when he's on your team, you're like, wow, I absolutely love this guy because of what he brings to the team. So to give you some sort of reference of what South Florida is, in their first game of the season, they lost to Southeast Missouri State, 64-61. So not a great team that Auburn's playing up against tonight, but at the same time, it is early in the season. Auburn has shown that shooting is a early struggle, and if you don't shoot the ball well from three, if you don't shoot it well from the free throw line, a team can sneak up on you and stay in the ball game. So I expect Auburn to look good tonight and handle business. 20 points is a lot in college basketball, but we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to get over tonight and see what Auburn does and what difference that they do. What do they do different, right, from Monday to tonight? Will we see a different starting lineup tonight? Will we see some different rotations? I'm interested to see what Bruce throws out there to start the game.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see kind of Bruce tinker with different lineups, especially early in this season, trying to find his best groups out there on the court. I would expect to see more of Jahni Broom, Jalen Williams, and Yoan Traore. I think that's that group of three. And then I guess Dylan Cardwell, if he's going to continue to play like he did in the opener. Those four, it's going to be fascinating to see how they figure out who starts, who's in the second unit. I think Jahni Broom maybe has not had the lightning quick start, but I think he will round into form. I know he was a little bit banged up in the exhibition, a little bit banged up going into the opener. I think he could have really show you something over the next few weeks and show something that Auburn has not had in a long time, being able to dump the ball down low and have a big that can do post moves down there and really has a skill set and a repertoire that has not really been shown by an Auburn center in a long time.
Yeah, I'm excited for Jahni Broom to really fill into what he can be in the SEC. Obviously, we know that he was a dominant force at Morehead State. He was the player of the year in their conference, and he now is obviously with Auburn. And this is a little bit different, of course, playing in the SEC with Auburn versus playing at Morehead State. But I think he's going to fit in really, really well. I think he is going to be one of those dudes for Auburn that they go to time and time again. Because I've talked about this Auburn team is going to be different. This Auburn basketball team is going to be different. They are not going to shoot 40 threes a game and make half of them. That's just not what this team's going to be. I think you're going to see a lot more dump it down low, let Jahni Broom, let Yoan Traore do their thing inside, Dylan Cardwell even, who's looked good coming off the bench as well. And I've talked about it before already, maybe on Tuesday after the Monday game. Auburn needs to work from the inside out with their offense because that's where their strength is in the paint. And I think if they do that, you're going to see Jahni Broom fit himself into the SEC really, really well. I think you'll eventually see Yoan Traore grow out of his high school game and into the college game, and I think he will be really, really good. And then you have Dylan Cardwell coming off the bench who has slimmed up, has really, really looked good early when they played in Israel and on Monday night in their first game. He is a threat coming off the bench as well. So I think Auburn has to work from the inside out with their offense. If they do that, that will open up three-point shooters. That will open up open three-point shooters. And that's when they can start to try to knock them down instead of trying to make contested between-the-legs step-back threes.
Yeah, I look forward to just seeing how this team. I think that this team will shoot the ball better, especially from deep. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing how that develops. I think it's a very small sample size so far for the rough shooting. I'm just looking forward to being in Neville Arena, man. Just seeing the students out there. I think I've we've sufficiently challenged them to have a better showing than they did in the opener, and I expect them to do that tonight. And I want to see this Auburn team grow over time, because I do think that there's so many new parts that it is going to take time for them to get better over the course of these first few weeks of the season. Then, of course, they have some challenging games coming up. They've got some road trips to Washington, to USC. I believe they have Memphis, right? And Atlanta in December. I'm just looking forward to see how this team comes together, how they evolve over the early stretch of this season.
Well, I think tonight should be a great crowd with everybody coming in town for Auburn football tomorrow. I hope that people buy tickets, try to get tickets, and get in the door. Season ticket holders need to show up. I've said that for a couple of years. I think the scholarship seats down on the floor opposite of the student section in Auburn Arena or in Neville Arena, those people need to show up or sell their tickets and find another way to donate, because Auburn definitely uses their money and is appreciative of their money. But last game on Monday, the first game of the season, half of them weren't there. Half of those seats were empty. And those are seats that are shown on TV. Those are seats that are right on the floor. Those are seats that have an impact on the game. And when half of those people aren't showing up, that's a problem, and people will fill those seats if they are available. Students will fill those seats if they're open. I can guarantee you that. So they've got to find a way for those seats to get filled, because it hurts Auburn, it hurts the atmosphere, and it hurts the image of what Auburn basketball is if people aren't showing up to big games.
Yeah, I do think it is an early season kind of weeknight kind of thing, I think. And when you see these games that are coming up, I'm trying to look at what I would consider the first big home game, I guess, would be that. I bet you that midweek Florida game, it looks a lot different.
That's the SEC opener, right?
Yes. And then for sure that Arkansas game on a weekend, that's the first big home Saturday game. That Arkansas matchup is going to be packed to capacity. And it's going to be very, very, very loud between, right now as it stands, two top 15 teams.
We'll see how it goes. Auburn opens up, or their second game of the season, I should say, tonight against South Florida. That game is at 7 o'clock tonight over in Neville Arena. We look forward to Auburn basketball getting back out on the floor. Of course, Auburn football plays Texas A&M tomorrow. Auburn High School has their playoff game tonight. It is a busy, busy weekend here in Auburn, Alabama. Phone lines are open all day. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll start talking some college football when we come back.
On the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. What are your thoughts about Auburn basketball tonight? What are your thoughts about Auburn football tomorrow against Texas A&M? And question of the day, what are you watching? What sports are you keeping up with this weekend? Because there is a lot going on. I already talked about the stuff going on just here in Auburn. Auburn High football tonight. Auburn University basketball tonight. Auburn University football tomorrow. What are you watching this weekend? I mean, you got college football all day Saturday, NFL on Sunday, hockey and basketball going on. There is a ton going on right now in sports. What are you watching this weekend, man?
I think it has to be football. Look, I'm going to watch the Auburn game in basketball this weekend. Going to keep tabs on the Northwestern game as well. But football is absolutely king right now, and especially with the buzz around Auburn right now, with Texas A&M coming to town, sellout crowd, the interim head coach Cadillac Williams with the energy he has around the program, with the new football only facility that has now, I guess, opened up or been unveiled at least. All of those things, these contributing factors, have created an atmosphere in Auburn that is can't miss this weekend. It is I expect it to be the most fun and loudest game of the year in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I expect the team to play well. I expect the team to win this one, and that's the first time in a home game against a Power 5 opponent, I have confidently felt that way. I didn't feel as confident against Missouri as I do right now.
Which says something about what the program was under Brian Harsin versus what it is right now under Cadillac.
I can go on a Brian Harsin rant if you want me to.
I think we're okay. I think we're good for right now, brother. But, no, look, talking about everything going on this weekend, there is great college football tomorrow. Of course, NFL Sunday. Basketball tonight. Look, you know me, man. I'm so excited for college basketball.
You're going to say, like, I'm so excited about the NHL or something.
Dude, I am. Hey, look, man. The Bruins are playing unbelievable hockey right now, just for everybody to realize that. But, no, I love college basketball, man. That is my go-to, right? I love college football. Don't get me wrong. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's still right there. But college basketball really, really gets me excited. And, of course, Gonzaga, Michigan State tonight. Auburn playing tonight. Really excited to go to that. I'm going to the Auburn basketball game tonight, and then I'll be going to the Auburn football game tomorrow. Carter, I hope you watch the Auburn game tomorrow because you have to do a two-hour show about it afterwards.
Oh, I'm absolutely watching the Auburn game. I won't be in attendance because I'll be here in the studio watching it with our good buddy Jack Hutton, live texting us throughout the show about every comment we are making. But
that's right. If nobody else is listening, Jack Hutton is always listening.
Fair. But yeah, no, I'm so looking forward to this, and there's so many good games this weekend that have caught my eye. I think that there's some games that absolutely can shape the landscape of college football this weekend, this season.
Which is where we're going coming up later on in this hour. We're going to talk about all of the games and their impacts coming up this weekend.
And there are games that impact Auburn's coaching search, whether you like it or not. There are kind of finals that if a certain team wins, it could help or hurt Auburn. And the timeline for a head coach, absolutely.
What about that football facility that opened up? We've seen tons of photos and videos from players going through the football facility today. That thing's nice, man. It is state of the art. And like I said, it should be with how much money they spent on that thing. It is super, super nice. The locker room, the team room, the hangout room, the walkthrough room. Did you see that? That looks really, really cool. It's a giant wall that looks like it's about 100 feet long.
I think it's the width of the field.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's a big screen, and they can literally walk through with a projector and walk through plays as they're standing there. It looks really, really cool. The entire thing is just unbelievably nice, and I'm excited to go see it at some point. I don't know when that will be, but it looks really, really nice.
No, I mean, absolutely. I'm excited to see how that impacts this program. You saw how excited the players were last night walking through. I watched Tank Bigsby's Instagram video as he walked through it, and the level of excitement that he had as somebody who's been here 3 years that I think most people would maybe consider him probably not likely to come back to Auburn, but whether it be the NFL or transferring, just because of how things have shaped out, he's legitimately seemed like in his video, he was having a lot of fun. He was definitely contemplating what it would look like to come back to Auburn under a new staff that I think we can confidently say if Tank Bigsby comes back, this new staff will address the offensive line at least.
You better hope they do. You absolutely better hope they do.
And they better keep interim head coach Cadillac Williams, his position coach, on staff. If the next coach gets rid or moves on from Cadillac Williams, does not retain him on staff, there might be riots in the street in Auburn right now.
You can fire him right there and then, I think.
Because this community, this fan base, this team, this program, this athletic department has rallied around that man like I've never seen Auburn do before.
I 100% agree. And if for some reason the new coach doesn't like him, which I don't know is possible, you better keep him anyway because your job may rely on it. We've got a whole lot more talking about college football and the games coming up this weekend. You do not want to miss it.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Carter, you're trying to figure out how to get people to super follow you on Twitter.
Because we were talking about the Twitter blue stuff, and I just found all of it so funny, and I was looking through all the features. But hey, don't use me talking about Twitter to distract from you being kind of flustered over there trying to figure out what's going on with your headphones.
Never. I am always prepared, ready to go every single minute of this show. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. We'd love to hear from you on this Friday afternoon. Let's start talking some of the college football games coming up tomorrow. The implications, the magnitude, if you will. Not necessarily making our picks yet. Of course, we'll do that in the second hour when Jack Hutton joins us. But looking at some of the games, we've talked about it a little bit, right? LSU Arkansas, I think, is very, very interesting because of where LSU is right now. Number 7 team in the country, 7-2 overall, 5-1 in the SEC. Whether you think they're actually a competitor or not, they are in the conversation for a national championship. And that speaks volumes itself with what Brian Kelly has done at LSU and what the hesitancy of when he was hired and the reaction of when he was hired when he took over that job at LSU. But they've got to go on the road at a very disappointing 5-4 Arkansas team to this point. But don't overlook Arkansas because they're physical, they're good on offense, and they could sneak up on LSU.
I think LSU is a little anxious about this game with the fact that the line is just 3.5. It's a series that they have historically dominated, but they're coming off such an emotional high. And Arkansas, I think they got in a look-ahead spot, and I think that there are some history here where good LSU teams go on the road to Arkansas and, for whatever reason, struggle. In Fayetteville, struggle in Little Rock when they play the game there sometimes at War Memorial Stadium. This one just feels interesting to me. I kind of like Arkansas. I kind of like Arkansas.
Their defense is so bad. It's so bad, though. That's the problem I have.
I think Arkansas is a more capable team than they've gotten credit for, even in the last month. I just think that They got in a look-ahead spot against Liberty. I think that's exactly what happened. They were coming off a domination of Auburn. And they just got caught there between the Auburn game and the LSU game. Liberty snuck in there, dominated them for one half, and then held on by the skin of their teeth to a 21-19 victory.
I think LSU is playing good. I think they're obviously playing better than what we've seen in the early parts of this season. They continue to get better, which is what good football teams do throughout the season.
That's fair.
You get better every single game. I think Jaden Daniels is playing well. I think the defense is doing their job for the most part. Obviously, we saw them get down early and often to Tennessee. But I think LSU is playing good football, and it's an 11 a.m. game. You're playing on the road at Arkansas, one of those places where, yeah, you're on the road, but you're not extremely worried about playing in the most hostile environment possible. And it's an 11 a.m. kick as well. So will Arkansas fans show up and show out? Yeah, absolutely. but I think LSU will be just fine. I think they're the better team. If they're ready and prepared, I think they can win this game, but I think Arkansas runs with them. There's no doubt about it, and if LSU is not prepared for Arkansas, they will lose, and we've seen what teams coming off of a win over Alabama, how they have played historically. They have not played well after beating Alabama. Teams do not play well after you beat the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think that last week had a chance to be such a kind of physical, emotional game that this feels so prime for a letdown spot for LSU. And you have, I will say, it is going to be an interesting matchup with Jaden Daniels playing as well as he's played recently. Do you know where Arkansas's defense ranks in pass defense this year?
Well, at one point it was dead last in college football, so I'm sure it's at least bottom 10 still.
They are 129th in passing yards allowed per game. Fun fact,
wow,
there are 131 teams.
There you go. So they're still not just bottom 10. They are bottom 5 in
bottom
passing,
three.
Bottom 3 in passing defense. So not that LSU is just throwing it 1,000 times a game, right? I mean, you look at Jaden Daniels. He's 187 of 268 for almost 2,000 yards. He's 6 yards shy and has 14 touchdowns. I think LSU is going to game plan throwing the football because that's what you do to beat Arkansas. Obviously, Auburn couldn't do it because Auburn can't throw the football right now, but LSU can, and I think LSU will.
Well, yeah, Auburn's on the stat that the like 15 or 20 schools that have fewer passing touchdowns on the season than Tanner Mordecai did for SMU last week when he threw 10 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. I mean, it's not good. Yeah, again, and if you want to get on that conversation about Auburn, you've got to figure something out this weekend against Texas A&M, throwing the football, or if you're not going to throw it, I would. I've said it on here. I would tell Robbie Ashford, you are not throwing the ball. So go ahead and get that out of your brain.
You have to in some fashion to
keep the
defense honest. You absolutely do.
He can't. That's the problem. He can't. He can't hit a dude that's wide open running in stride right next to him.
Well, he had the one of the clutcher throws of the year in that fourth quarter when he hit Javarius Johnson down the field on that post. It wasn't pretty coming out of the hand, but he hit him in the face mask.
He did. He hit him in the face mask. Hey, has he done it since, though?
Well, I mean, that was the last drive of the last game.
But I'm saying, like, has he done that consistently?
We have seen moments where when Robbie trusts his offensive line, when he trusts his mechanics, when he trusts what he's been taught, which, by the way, I watched the episode 11 of the Journey series that Auburn is doing for this football season. Really impressed with Mike Hartline, the new quarterback's coach. I think he's, to me, I thought he was more impressive than the development we were seeing under Eric Kiesaw coaching these quarterbacks this year. And so I think Robbie Ashford, when he does trust his technique, when he does trust his offensive line, when he trusts his coaches, we've seen him deliver some very high level throws. I go back to the LSU game where he had three or four in the first half that I was like, oh boy, those are big time NFL caliber throws. It's not consistent enough, but he has every club is in the bag for him, I think. It's just a matter of consistency and trusting his ability.
My worry with Robbie Ashford is, and that worry has dwindled a little bit because of Brian Harsin being fired. We're going to have new coaching, a new head coach, a new coaching staff at Auburn. But my worry with Robbie Ashford is he's going to be another athletic, talented, very high ceiling quarterback that comes to Auburn. It just goes to waste. because he doesn't get developed. He doesn't turn into anything more than what he was coming out of high school. Not against him, not against most of those quarterbacks. Most of them just haven't in the recent future or the recent past have not developed. Well, and I mean, that is a problem.
There hasn't been a coach at Auburn that can develop a dadgum high school quarterback in so long.
Exactly.
Because Gus Malzahn, I've talked about it. You can go back through Gus Malzahn's entire college coaching career, and he has not developed a single quarterback, a single one. He's either inherited the quarterback, it has been a junior college transfer, or it has been a just straight-up transfer. Every successful quarterback he's had, he's never done it with a high school quarterback. Brian Harsin, we saw signs of life with Bo Nix last year. Bo Nix gets hurt, and then Brian Harsin just decides, you know what? He's not going to try, basically. He's not going to hold his players accountable going to class. He's not going to do second-half adjustments. He's not going to go out on the recruiting trail. He's not going to put forth the effort to be a good head coach. He's not going to address the offensive line. He's not going to address the quarterback position correctly. And all of that, yeah, that's why you get bad quarterback play. You get no development because you don't have the talent in the locker room. But, I mean, it's just get somebody in here. If I could talk directly to John Cohen, get somebody in here that can put together a program and recruit and develop a daggum quarterback, because it has not happened in so long.
And, again, that is my fear with somebody like Robbie Ashford, who has a very, very high ceiling. We have talked about that on this show quite a bit. He has a high ceiling, but his floor is also very low, because when he does not do the right things, Auburn does not move the football, and Auburn doesn't score any points. And so I worry that Robbie Ashford, again, who is a very talented quarterback who could be really, really good here, is going to go to waste if Auburn doesn't bring somebody in that can develop not just him, but future quarterbacks.
If I had a bet, I don't think Robbie Ashford is the starting quarterback in 23. I think 23 is going to be a developmental gear, sit back, develop. I think there will be probably a one-year stopgap kind of guy for under whoever the new coaching staff is. By the way, just because I keep seeing it pop up on Twitter, fun fact about this new football-only facility. The weight room is the size of the new Publix downtown.
What? Oh, my God. So, wait, is that a compliment about the weight room, or is that a negative about how small the Publix is?
It's a small Publix, but it's an extremely large weight room. I think that it's a combination.
Well, from the videos I've seen, it is very big, very nice, just like everything else at the new athletic complex.
There are 22 squat racks in the weight room, along with lighting system, I think, for each individual rack.
Jesus.
So spotlights can be put on the players as they are having max days. I'm following Justin Ferguson on Twitter, which is where I'm getting this.
I think a lot of the writers are over there right now.
Yes, they are.
Going through.
I saw Nathan King's over there right now as well. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be an unbelievable advantage for Auburn, and I think get a new strength staff in here. I think that weight room is only going to improve. I think you're going to see some new state-of-the-art, new technological machines in there that we have not seen in the weight room so far.
Well, we've talked about it. The stars are aligning for Auburn football as a program to be successful.
There's a reason why everybody's talking about it as a sleeping giant right now.
That's right. You have a head coach opening to where you can go out and get a massive name as your new head coach. You have a brand new football facility that opened up today that is state of the art. It's the nicest in the country. It's the newest in the country. It is worth every single penny that was put into it. You have a new athletic director. You have a new president. You have the boosters and the board and the powers that be, whatever you want to call it, that seem to be aligning back behind everything else. All you need is a good coach to come in here and get this thing going, because everything else behind it seems to be lining up perfectly for Auburn to build up a dynasty and be good and be a threat every single year in college football. That is why this new head coach has to be the one. This has to be a good hire. This has to be a great hire. This has to be the guy for Auburn football. If you shoot and miss on this guy, I don't know what you do if you're Auburn, because I feel like the time is now for Auburn to go out and be great, because if you get the coach to line up with everything else, it is the last piece of the puzzle for Auburn football to start building up as a dominant program once again. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. We will wrap up hour number one when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Byrd with you on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika sports leader, as more photos just pile in on Twitter from, again, a lot of our beat writer friends are over touring the new Auburn football facility right now. I mean, this thing is just, it's nice, man. It's unbelievably nice how it's taken them a little bit to get it done, but it is just unbelievably state-of-the-art, top-notch. And again, when you spend that much money on it, it should be this nice. And I think it's going to be really, really good. They said, I read a tweet where the speakers inside the practice facility on the field can get up to 130 decibels if needed to prepare for crowd noise and stuff like that within the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be a great advantage. I mean, everything about this place is going to put Auburn, at least pull Auburn even with some schools, but put Auburn ahead of almost everybody in the country. This is needed. It's going to be a huge advantage. And getting it done, having the players go through it yesterday, having the tours today, and then this weekend, with the big recruiting weekend that it is, having access to it this weekend is enormous. It's so big to be able, because now you can say, hey, we've been talking about this for years, and it's always been something that's on the way. Well, here it is. It's here now. It's ready to go. As soon as you can step on campus in January, you can enroll early, and you're walking into this building your first day on campus. This is your new home, and that's the way that Auburn is pitching it on social media, as they should.
Well, we've seen over the years, right? It's been LSU opened up a new football facility. Alabama opened up a new locker room and all that stuff. Georgia did the same thing. I mean, Auburn has watched big-time SEC college football programs do this exact thing, and they finally got everything together and realized, okay, we have got to have this if we want to compete with the likes of Georgia and Alabama, Clemson, whoever it may be, right, that we've seen open up new facilities over the past 5 years or so.
You know what I am glad about? I'm glad that there's not a stupid freaking slide in this one, because that's the dumbest thing in the world that Clemson added to theirs.
Slide hater, huh?
I just think it's stupid.
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not against it. I think it's kind of childish, honestly.
Yes, exactly. Treat your players like adults.
Well, you know what, Carter? Maybe they don't want to be adults in that moment when they're going down the slide. Did you ever think about that?
I mean, you can build an escalator if you don't want them to move. That's fine.
Oh, my God. No, I'm glad there is no slide that we know of. They may have a secret slide.
Brian Harsin never would have accepted that, because you always had to take the stairs.
Always take the stairs. Yeah. Look, man, the new facility, it looks really, really nice. If you have a chance to go over today, go and see it. It's going to be really nice. It will not be open tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned. That's going to be strictly for recruits tomorrow, I would think.
I highly doubt.
Yeah. I haven't seen if they're doing tours tomorrow. Again, I don't think so. It. But hopefully they've got that thing closed off for tours, for recruits and the team, and that's it. Because tomorrow, surprisingly enough, could be a really, really big recruiting day for Auburn, because of the atmosphere that's going to be in Jordan-Hare Stadium, because of the game and possibly the result that we're going to see on the field tomorrow if Auburn is able to pull off a win. And with the new football facility opening up, this is a big chance, because Auburn's only got two more chances with games at Jordan-Hare Stadium to show off two recruits in this 2022 season, because the Iron Bowl obviously is in Tuscaloosa. So Auburn has 2 weekends left to really sell some people with December coming up, which is such a big month for transfer portal and recruiting with the early signing period.
Yeah, I think that as we get closer to December, to Thanksgiving, to the end of the season, knowing that a new head coaching staff is going to be in place, the sense of urgency is only going to increase. And that's why we've talked about how as close to the clock hitting zero in the Iron Bowl, you need a coach because you've got to capitalize on the transfer portal period. You've got to capitalize on the early signing window. We know 80% of kids sign in that early signing period. You need to get talent in the door ASAP because this roster is going to need a lot of turnover. It's going to need a facelift because there's going to be a lot of seniors going out the door. There's going to be guys leaving for the NFL. There's going to be guys transferring out. That's why you've seen some places there being discussion about as many as 40, 45 players coming into this program for 2023, which would be turnover like we've never seen at Auburn.
Well, it's much needed, I think, is what we can all agree on. And the new football facility is going to help. The new head coach is going to help. And it's a good time for Auburn if they can just get the right people in the building. Hour number one, officially in the book. Jack Cutton will join us in hour number two. We'll make picks for college football. It's all coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this Veterans Day here in Auburn Opelika. It is a rainy, cloudy, just a gloomy day here in the Auburn Opelika area. But again, happy Veterans Day. Hope you're all doing well. We thank all that are serving today. And so hopefully they are being recognized in the correct way, however that is. So we appreciate everybody tuning in on this Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Cutton, as he has every Friday during football season. Jack Cutton, hello, sir.
Hey, fellas. How are y'all?
We are great.
I'm doing all right, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Carter. Thanks for asking.
Oh, my gosh. Jack Cutton, of course, he is part of the Auburn High School Sports Network. He is the voice of the Auburn High School Basketball Tigers and the Softball Tigers, so we appreciate him stopping by every single Friday. You guys have Dothan tonight, Auburn High football, in the quarters,
sure,
correct?
Do. Yes, we sure do. Quarterfinals tonight. Winner gets the winner of Central and Enterprise going on tonight in Phoenix City as well. Winner of that one, if Central wins, we'll be in Central. If Enterprise wins that, we get a semifinal game in Duck Samford.
What are the vibes right now with that Central Phoenix City game and the Auburn Dothan game tonight?
Yeah, so Auburn probably the favorite in the Auburn Dothan game tonight. Dothan, much more of a run heavy team. They're going to line up in heavy packages. And they're going to run you to death. And Auburn had a little bit of trouble with them earlier in this year in Duck Sanford, putting them away. Finally did late, but Dothan can run the football really well. On the other hand, Central, I think, is just too good to be outlasted by a team like Enterprise. I think Central's going to roll in that. So if I was a betting man, I'd have to say Central and Auburn next week. Over in Phoenix City. But, hey, anything can happen in these playoffs.
And we know what the rivalry is between Auburn and Central. Those two schools compete in every single sport, and it seems like it's always some sort of drama going on when those two teams get together.
Yeah, and also I want to give a shout-out to my Auburn High School men's basketball team, 2-0 on the season.
All right.
Wins over Carter and Brubaker Tech.
That's right, Carter. You heard that, didn't you?
That's right. Going to be back in action this week. taking on a couple more region foes. So we'll have those on our sister station over here, WLE 96.3.
Excellent. Well, man, we appreciate you coming by as always. We've got some college football to talk about here in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. We'll get into making some picks around college football. Of course, at 3:30, we'll talk Auburn and Texas A&M and give our thoughts on that matchup going on in Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow. So let's get into it, boys. We'll start with the game that we have talked quite a bit about and the game that is sneaky good tomorrow in the SEC, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Number 7, LSU on the road at Arkansas. Jack, let's get your thoughts on this game first. LSU, again, I've said it, you may not like it, but they are in the national championship conversation up to this point. How do you see this one going tomorrow? LSU on the road in Fayetteville, 11 a.m.
LSU has got two really tough games to end the year, and they are looking to lock up the SEC West Championship if they can win them both. Carter and I watched a big game against Alabama where they went for 2-1 it in Baton Rouge. I'm going to say I think LSU finds a way in this one. They go into Arkansas. Jaden Daniels has looked better since his 85-yard showing at Auburn. I do like Arkansas's offense. Of course, Rocket Sanders ran wild against Auburn. And then Jaden Hazelwood has also been really good for KJ Jefferson, getting the ball thrown to him. But I do like LSU to go in, keep the momentum, and set up a date in College Station for what would be their SEC West championship game. For LSU, at least. Not for A&M, but that'll be for LSU.
Interesting. You and I may have different definitions of tough.
I knew Carter had something to say about that.
That A&M game does not feel like a tough one for LSU right now. But I do think that this game, my gut just, this feels weird. It feels off. There's something about it. The line being 3.5. Tells me Vegas may know something, and you see the fact that that LSU coming off this crazy emotional high, and Arkansas just lost to Hugh Freeze at Liberty, of course. I think you're going to see an extremely motivated Arkansas team. I think you're going to see a really raucous environment in Fayetteville, and I think I'm going to call it here. I think Arkansas gets this done.
How about that? Yeah. Interesting to me that this isn't, and I don't know if it would make much of a difference, but haven't they done in the past, they've alternated years with War Memorial and Razorback Stadium? Are they not doing that anymore? Because what I see on here, it's in Fayetteville.
I don't know.
They play one game a year there. Right. I think they have already played their matchup there this year.
Okay. I was thinking they usually played LSU in that one, so maybe I was missing something.
Yeah, we'll see. LSU on the road at Arkansas tomorrow. I like LSU in this game. I know it's a sneaky game for LSU. I know Arkansas probably got caught up in a look-ahead game last week. I just don't think Arkansas is what we thought they were going to be. Not everybody thought they were going to be.
They have the hardest or second hardest schedule in the country, depending on where you want to put Auburn.
They do.
In that
they
list.
Do. And their defense, their pass defense, something we talked about in the first hour, is abysmal. It is horrible. It is bottom three in all of college football. I think LSU will use that to their advantage. I think Jaden Daniels will have a great day. I like LSU to win this one. I think it'll be a good one. I think it'll be competitive. But I like LSU just because they are a better team. They're playing better. And LSU's got a lot to play for. Arkansas has zero to play for at this point.
Because of that, I think LSU is your 2022 SEC West champions. I think they go to the SEC championship game against Georgia. I think they get their tails kicked in, but I do think they're your SEC West champions.
We'll see how it goes. LSU, Arkansas tomorrow at 11 a.m. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hey, Jacob, Carter, Jack, how y'all doing?
We're doing great, man.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Pretty good. Jacob, first I want to thank you for saying that about the information you guys are passing on about the new complex you're talking about.
Yeah.
And also says they got to make the right hire, which you said also.
They absolutely do.
$92 million complex. This is why you can't go hire Dan Lanning or Jeff Grimes. You got to hire somebody that can make the program what it deserves to be. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. That's why you have to make it a big-time hire. I know, Carter, what you're going to say. So go ahead.
I just have a hard time saying the guy who right now is on pace to win the Pac-12 and potentially play in a college football playoff and is a sitting Power 5 head coach saying that's not a splash big-time hire to me.
Dan Lanning gives me, and Terry, you may disagree with this, but Dan Lanning gives me a little bit of a Kirby Smart vibe when he was coming through Alabama. He's with
except he doesn't have a bowl
team cut.
Yeah,
that's true. But he's with a big-time national contender. He's a defensive coordinator that has been thought of as a candidate to be a head coach for a long time. So he strikes me as a guy that's kind of like Kirby Smart that could be the next up-and-comer. Don't know that,
of course,
and that's a good point.
I see a guy who wins the Pac-12 as a guy who places fourth in the SEC West.
Sure.
And that's a fair argument comparing, obviously, the SEC and the Pac-12. But no, Terry, my point stands where Auburn, like I said, everything is backed up right now for Auburn to where it can be successful, but this is maybe the most important hire Auburn has made, I mean, possibly ever, but in a long, long time as the head football coach.
And there's also
it's not a song for Brian Harsin when he departed. It was a sound. It was called hee-haw,
hee-haw. Oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness. Oh, Terry, all right. Terry hung up after making some interesting sounds. It's always good to hear from Terry. We'd love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390. That just continues with how these Friday shows go on.
You know what's interesting to me is Terry was talking about how the winner of the Pac-12 would be fourth place in the SEC. And I agree with him that there's definitely a competition. There's a difference in competition levels there. But I will say, if you put Nick Saban at Oregon, Nick Saban would also win the Pac-12, but he obviously is going to win the SEC. You don't know the difference between
those.
That's
fair.
So if Dan Lanning wins the Pac-12, he may win the SEC
as well. You're trying to say there, but yeah, I know. I'm with you. I'm just scrolling through because I know who Terry wants to be the coach.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing where Hugh Freeze finished in the SEC West. I mean, finished second in his, his last season. His second to last season. But, I mean, that's fair. I get it. But I think this Oregon team this year would finish higher than fourth in the SEC West. I think they would. I think this Oregon team would beat LSU if you put
them
out
there on the field
right now.
No, I think he's saying fourth in the SEC.
He said SEC West.
Oh, did he? Okay.
But
okay.
In the SEC, I think that they'd be the
close to the same thing.
The fourth best team in the SEC because I think I'll say
maybe sixth maybe.
I think that they can
in the SEC?
They could give Alabama and Tennessee a run for their money. They aren't going to beat Georgia this year. We already saw that matchup and we're probably there's a decent chance we see that again.
Yeah, saw that butt kicking already.
I think Oregon, if you were to put them in the SEC this year with that Oregon team and this SEC, you could make an argument they are a top four SEC team because you've got obviously Georgia, you've got Tennessee, you've got Alabama, LSU is in that mix. You could make an argument that Oregon may beat LSU.
I think Oregon is better than LSU.
That might be a good one if it was in like Death Valley. That might be a really good game.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you can make the argument Oregon is a top four SEC team if they were to be playing in the conference. And so to kind of get back to where we were, where all of this came from, Terry called in talking about not hiring Dan Lanning, and this is a guy that is on the verge of winning the Pac-12. My thing is, and my pushback a little bit is, how do you know that he couldn't win in the SEC until he gets to the SEC, right? He's only doing what his job tells him to do, win at the program he's at. He's winning at Oregon, and he is a good coach. He's a good recruiter. So how do you know how good of a coach he is in the SEC until he becomes a head coach in the SEC? That's sort of my pushback on that, just to be the devil's advocate there. He is a risk, but there's a very high reward as well if you do go the direction of Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning, if you hit a home run with him, and I come back to this, there is no fear of him leaving for his alma mater or anything, and he can be your coach for 20-plus years because he is 36 years old.
If he becomes successful, you're absolutely right. He could be. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Good buddy. Terry, I think he's wanting Hugh Freeze. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct. Yes, yes. That's been the theme for like the last 6 weeks with Terry.
Yeah, well, we know the disaster that happened at Mississippi. Now at Liberty, 8-5, 10-1, 8-5, and presently 9-1. Right.
Yes,
that's correct.
Now, isn't that the same cloth that they cut Malzahn out of?
Liberty, or
no, Hugh Freeze and Malzahn are cut from the same cloth.
In terms of what?
Yeah, I guess in like the consistency level, right, Spectre? Talking like have a good, like a nice good season, and then kind of fall back a little bit, have that big year, fall back a little bit.
I'm sorry, Carter, you didn't know your history there. Yes, correct. Yeah. Good.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that's where I thought that's where you were going a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were going.
We're talking about an independent team that is having to schedule games. They're going and playing road games. They're playing BYU. They're going to play road games against Arkansas. Like they played Ole Miss last year. Like they schedule hard, and they're not a Power 5 team. They're gonna lose games. But I tell you what, I think Hugh Freeze would have more consistent success than Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, you're dreaming. All right, listen,
all right, that's fair. You and I can disagree on that.
I tell you what, I'd like to see Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn in a bowl game this year.
That'd be interesting. I think it'd be an interesting matchup with that UCF team and that Liberty team. I mean, you'd see a lot of points, that's for sure.
I'd end up in a tie.
It might. You never know. So Spectre, who would you want as – I don't know if we've heard from you yet who you want as Auburn's head coach. And if we have, I apologize.
Well, I'm really, really searching, actually. And what I want in a coach is a top-notch recruiter and a coach that can bring his assistants on board that are top-notch recruiters. Now, who is that guy?
I got an idea who you're going to say, and I'm – not sure I'm on board with it.
Well, let me see if you're on board. Who is it?
Are you going to say Deion Sanders?
Well, I mean, he hasn't been proven as a head coach in Power 5.
So but, are you going to go Lane then?
What we need at Auburn, guys, are recruits that can play football.
Correct.
Not threes and fours that need to be developed into football players.
So who's your guy?
We need fives.
Right. So who's your
who's
guy?
Who's the guy?
Well, as much as I don't like Lane Kiffin or Deion Sanders, either one of those guys would probably bring those fives to Auburn. Now, their staff has to be, let's say Carnell Williams. Mm-hmm. We know Carnell Williams can take a recruit and make a running back out of him. A successful running back I'm talking about.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so we need a coaching staff that can develop football players. Now, fives can come in. Well, you can see what Texas A&M, they got a buttload of fives. Well, they're not being developed.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right.
That's true.
What Auburn has to not only get them, but also develop them. I think Lane is a good option there. Obviously, that's why he is one of the favorites to get the job, and I think Deion could bring some recruits in as well. Spectre, it's good to hear from you. We got to get to a break. We appreciate the call. That is Spectre joining us here on the Line. Let's get to our first break in hour number two. We'll come back, continue making some picks around college football before we get into Auburn and Texas A&M. It's all coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Making more picks here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Cudden here in studio for hour number two. Jack, you had something you wanted to tag on to that conversation before we move on.
Yeah, I just wanted to really quickly touch on Liberty's schedule for this year. So, Spectre, if you're still listening, I thought it was interesting. You were kind of talking about how Gus Malzahn and Hugh Freeze were very similar this year. They had similar teams. And I wanted to kind of run through Liberty's schedule because I was looking this up during the break. But they start out at Southern Miss. They go up there. They win that one. And granted, that took a few overtimes to win that one. But Southern Miss may become bowl eligible this weekend. So Southern Miss is actually, you know, not necessarily a bottom-of-the-barrel team. Then they have UAB. They win that game. They go to Winston-Salem to play number 18, Wake Forest, who's still in the top 25. lose that game by 1 point. Akron, who you beat, Old Dominion, UMass, and Gardner Webb. So you get those cupcakes. But then you get BYU, who I would consider probably on the level of a Power 5 team.
Yeah, they're going into the Big 12 next year.
Yeah, and then you go to Arkansas and you win that. That's three games out of nine against Power 5 opponents. He has won two of those, and the last one he lost by 1 point. I don't think that is necessarily something to sneeze at. I think that's something that Hugh Freeze has done that I don't think Gus Malzahn has done with a team like UCF. He hasn't really beaten that big Power 5 opponent yet. Hugh Freeze does it a couple times a year.
He's gotten to 10 wins twice in the last 3 years. When has Gus Malzahn gotten to 10 wins twice in 3 years?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that was – has he?
No.
Has he yet?
No.
I don't think he has.
He got to what? 12 wins in 13, and then he got to 10 in 17,
yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's the only two. So anyways, yeah, that's just – Liberty is playing Power 5 teams, and they're not just competing with them. They're beating the Power 5 teams that they're playing or becoming – or at least have a very competitive game to where – they look like another Power 5 team.
Fair points all around. Let's keep going with some picks around college football coming up this weekend. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. If you have any picks you want to make to us, any predictions you have for this weekend, coming up in about 7 minutes or so, we will talk all things Auburn and Texas A&M tomorrow in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Looking up and down the schedule some more, boys. We talked about LSU and Arkansas. Obviously, a massive game in the SEC tomorrow. Number 9, Alabama, on the road at number 11, Ole Miss. Ole Miss trying to keep their SEC West hopes alive, trying to keep a dash of college football playoff hopes alive. Alabama favored by 12 on the road tomorrow, 2:30 CBS. Who wins and why?
I think this is the game for the last calendar year. Lane Kiffin has had circled. He's been prepping for it. I know the last 2 weeks, it's been 100% of the focus. This is the game he wants every year. He wants to prove that the student here has become the master and beat his mentor and head coach in Nick Saban. I think Ole Miss keeps it close because they can run the football, they can throw it around the yard. But Alabama, I think, is too good. I think you're going to get a very angry Alabama team. I think there's going – and that Ole Miss defense is so bad. Alabama does enough to win the game.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Carter. I'm wondering from Alabama's side if there is a way, because I think if there is a two-loss team to get into the college football playoff, it is going to be a team like Alabama. I'm looking for a way that it could happen this year, and a lot of stuff would have to take place. But first of all, they're going to have to win the rest. They're going to have to win out, and then they're going to have to somehow get that fourth spot to do it. I don't think it happens. I think Ole Miss has a little bit more to play for. That said, I think Alabama has the better athletes. I think they will win this one in a not a very ugly game, but a very low-scoring game, actually.
Same question I've had in the past. Who has Ole Miss beaten?
Yeah, except
who
Kentucky.
Have they beaten?
Kentucky, who?
And Kentucky in a game that Kentucky gave them.
Yeah.
Gave them. Penalties, turnovers, fumbles, just dumb decision-making by Will Levis. Kentucky was the better team in that game.
Kentucky should have won that football game. There's no doubt about it. So, look, Ole Miss, again, I put this in a similar conversation as LSU, where technically they are still in a college football playoff national championship conversation, but they are not college football playoff material. They are not national championship worthy. They are going to lose tomorrow at home against Alabama. I think you see a more focused Alabama team. Obviously, we have noticed and just seen this year that this is a different Alabama team in a bad way. For Alabama, they're not as disciplined. They're not as well coached. They're not as talented as we've seen in the past. And I think we've seen that a couple of times. You'll see more of what Alabama has been tomorrow in Oxford. I think Alabama goes in. I think Alabama wins pretty heavily. I think Bryce Young has a good day. Ole Miss's defense can't hang. They just can't. And Alabama will use Bryce Young, Jahmyr Gibbs. They will use their athletes tomorrow and just beat Ole Miss.
If you allow 34 points to a Brian Harsin offense, your defense is hot garbage.
Exactly. And if Auburn can put 34 on you, what's Alabama going to do with Bryce Young? I think Alabama wins. I think Alabama covers. I think they cover by 12. I think they win two touchdowns. I really do. I think they will just, coming off a loss, I think Saban, you would think he would realize, like, okay, something has got to change in my football program. We got to get to the phone lines. We have about 2 minutes. We'll try to get it in here. 334-321-1390. Keith, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, yeah, y'all have made some of the points I was going to make. I'm not a big Lane Kiffin fan. I just don't think he's nearly by the coach that Hugh Freeze is. And, you know, as far as I know, Lane Kiffin's never won a big ball game. I mean, he's had some good records. And you know, he did win 10 games last year, but he got beat by Auburn by, what, 15? You know, Hugh Freeze, you know, he would recruit relentlessly, and he wants to be at Auburn. I don't know if Lane Kiffin wants to be at Auburn.
Well, Keith, you have the fact that there's access to all these different resources at Auburn that are not available at Ole Miss. So, in theory, Lane Kiffin's roster would be better. He is about as good. I think he is the best, in my opinion, at leveraging the transfer portal and getting talent in the door to revamp his roster every year. What he did last year with Matt Corral throwing it around the yard, and then this year completely switching identities and becoming a dominant run team, that's impressive.
That's,
and his ability to adapt is next level. Schematically speaking, Lane Kiffin is absolutely the best option out there. I just don't know if he's a long-term option, because we have not seen him stay anywhere long-term. I think both coaches would win a lot of games at Auburn.
Yeah, I don't think he's the best option, but he'd like to sent Matt Corral to his deathbed, I think. I mean, Matt Corral was a warrior, and he lived on Matt Corral last year. And, you know, Hugh Freeze has beaten Alabama twice. I mean, I know he had some big-time recruits and questionable like that, but, you know, he still did it, and they were – a lot of those guys were young.
Right. Know, hey, Keith, we got to get to break, man. I really apologize. We got to get to a break. We appreciate you calling in. That is Keith joining us here on the Line. We got 30 more minutes. We're talking all things Auburn and Texas A&M when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Hudden in studio here on ESPN 106.7. Talking Auburn and Texas A&M tomorrow night in Jordan-Hare Stadium, 6:30. And just looking at everything that has gone into this game, looking at just what this week has been, what the last 2 weeks have been like for Auburn, this Auburn football program. Of course, head coach Cadillac Williams, we've seen the love that he has received over the past couple of weeks with the team's performance at Mississippi State last weekend. And of course, now this is the first home game for Auburn with interim head coach Cadillac Williams. So we have talked about it. We expect the crowd. And from everything we've heard, read, seen from the Auburn fan base, this should be a raucous crowd at Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow night, right? I mean, I think tomorrow should be one of the best atmospheres we've seen at Auburn in a long time.
Yeah, I think that this will be the best environment of the year. Penn State could have been if the team had performed up to standard at all. But unfortunately, we all forgot that was a Brian Harsin coach team. And so it was not up to standard. But now, under Cadillac Williams, this team just feels so much more bought in, so much more focused, and there seems to be an extra gear that everybody has found, and I expect that to show on the field. You've got an A&M team trending in the wrong direction. Frankly, I think Wegman is starting for A&M. I think
I saw that, yeah.
Okay, you're asking a true freshman to go on the road to Jordan-Hare, one of the loudest places in the country, for what is going to be the loudest environment of the season for Auburn, to play in front of in this emotional game for Auburn. You have all of Cadillac's teammates coming back to support him. You have Letterman coming back to support Auburn. The fans are coming back to support Auburn. You've got Justin Lee writing columns that are really, really good about, hey, Auburn fans, you're being called back to your post here. And
Everything about this is a recipe for disaster for Texas A&M. I said at the beginning of the year, they have a two-man offense. Aeneas Smith and Devin Achane. Aeneas Smith broke his leg, what, a month and a half ago now? And that offense is really bad. Really bad, and I think Auburn, it will be easier for Auburn to stop the A&M offense than it was the Mississippi State offense, which they did a really good job of for about two and a half, three quarters there in that game after that first quarter. I believe in Auburn's defense here.
It is so neat to me the turnaround that Auburn has had seemingly in the last 2 weeks, because you have Cadillac who comes on and is kind of this uniter of the fan base. It's, hey, I've been around, I know what you're feeling, and we're going through this together, but I'm leading you out of this. And it was really neat to watch him in Mississippi State. Carter, you and I talked about it on after the game. It looked like he looked very excited into the game, but he also felt really nervous. It was almost like he had this entire weight of the Auburn fans on top of him that he was feeling. I don't think that he feels that this time. I think that you're going to get a little bit more ease and relaxation from Cadillac on the field. And I like you, I've struggled to find a way that A&M wins this game. I think Auburn's way too pumped up. I think the movie script, if you will, is being written towards Auburn right now.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think Auburn has to play well. I think that is a very, very important aspect, that Auburn has to play well to win this game, because let's be honest, when you look across the sideline tomorrow, when you're looking at recruiting stars and you're looking at the numbers, A&M's got the better athletes. They've got the better players right now for their program. That's just a fact. But it doesn't mean they're the better team tomorrow in Jordan-Hare Stadium. If Auburn can play well defensively, like we saw last week against Mississippi State, if Auburn can find a way to move the football with Robbie Ashford, I say he doesn't even throw the football. I think they just run a read option, triple option with him on it. I'm being straight up.
That's,
I promise.
Not feasible. That's not feasible.
Why not? Why is it not feasible? He can't throw the ball. He cannot throw the football.
He can throw it a little bit better than you're giving him credit
for.
He
can't.
He's not a good passer right now, because I think a large portion of this can be attributed to the offensive line has not been good this year.
I agree.
And again, and I will come back to this, it is a failure on Brian Harsin that the offensive line was not addressed at all, that you are in a situation where when your quarterback gets the snap, he is looking down first rather than looking downfield. He's looking down the rush.
I'd say the root of that is on Gus Malzahn. I would say Brian Harsin did nothing to fix the actual issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is something that's been brewing for years because of Malzahn, but it's nothing short of lazy for Brian Harsin to not go get a single offensive lineman out of the portal.
But when you have a guy that comes into your program, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to play to his strengths, right? Especially at the quarterback position, at the running back position, the wide receiver position, whatever it may be. You play to a guy's strength. What is Robbie Ashford's strength? It's running the football. Look at last week. He scored two rushing touchdowns.
I understand, but you have to throw the football to keep the defense honest. If you don't throw the ball,
I throw it every now and then, but I wouldn't throw it much because you're just throwing incomplete.
Don't throw the ball at all.
I'm fine if they don't throw the ball, because if you run with Robbie Ashford or Tank or Jarquez or bring a receiver in motion on a jet sweep, Texas A&M's defense is not good enough to stop that.
I am fine with running the ball 80% of the time. But you have to have a passing element to keep the defense honest.
The only thing you're doing throwing the ball right now is throwing incomplete passes.
That is not true.
Look at it.
You saw in a big moment last week, he threw one of the biggest throws he's had all year.
One of the best knuckleballs I've seen since R.A. Dickey.
Ugly coming out of the hand, but it was on the money, and it was in a huge spot.
Yeah.
He's done that a few times this year. And if you have the ability to go play action, go deep over the top, then they have to respect you. And that is all you need. It's the same reason why when you go look at yards per completion and pass attempt, the daggum military academies lead that because they go deep, because they know you're cheating up on the run, and you can hit that, then they have to back off a little bit.
I'm just saying, because he hit the one pass last week doesn't give me confidence for him to do it on any consistent level. And again, I hate it because Robbie Ashford can be so good, and I think he still will be good. But his strength is his athleticism and his legs. He can outrun anybody.
Not saying it's not.
It's fair. Yeah, and I think what Jacob may be saying here is, let's say the run is successful just in a theoretical world. Let's say you're running, and they're not stopping it. If they're not stopping it and you're picking up yardage, yeah, don't throw. I completely agree. I do think that at some point it's going to get stopped. The defense, they're going to put nine in the box. They're going to make sure that you
They're
going to
put nine ball. In the box on the first snap of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying that unless you're just having extreme success and you're able to pick up, you know, 5-6 yards a pop and you're just moving it right down the field, you're probably going to have to throw a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, if you're blowing holes in the defense like the 2013 offensive line did and you're picking up 7 yards a carry every time, then, yeah, you can go through games like they did at Tennessee that year where you threw 7 passes and completed 3 of them and put up 50-plus points on them.
Yeah, I'd be perfect with that stat line. But I am proud and glad to see that at least what we saw a little bit of last week, that at least running Robbie Ashford was in the game
plan.
There
were designed runs.
Exactly.
There was a whole different element that for some reason Brian Harsin was stubborn and refused to turn to.
Which is something I called for weeks.
5 days, figured out. And Robbie Ashford ran for 100 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. So, again, is it feasible to never throw the ball? No. But I think it's very limited. Until A&M proves that they can consistently stop you running the football tomorrow with Robbie Ashford, with Tank Bigsby, with Jarquez Hunter, with wide receivers coming in motion, whoever it is, run the ball, because that's what Auburn is good at. That's what Auburn football does, and that is the strength of this team right now, and that is solely because I don't have the confidence in Robbie Ashford to make consistent throws for 4 quarters. So if you run the ball a lot, yes, you got to throw it every now and then, because you're all right, Carter, to keep the defense on their keep them on their heels to where they have to defend the pass. But I think A&M knows, if we know it, A&M knows it, that Robbie Ashford is not the best passer in the world. So they're going to play the run, but that's where Robbie Ashford has to step up and be able to make some of those throws and pick up those 3rd and 6s where you're probably not going to run the football, where you've got to hit that slant route or hit the cross route with the tight end coming across the field. Robbie Ashford has to hit those throws tomorrow. The offensive line has to give him the time to hit those throws tomorrow. But I like Auburn tomorrow. I really do. And I think if they play well, they have everything to play for, not on the season, but on their emotions, on just this team and the coaching staff, the situation, the atmosphere. We expect it to be one of the best all season long in Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow because of Cadillac Williams. And just again, just think about and what we've seen this week from the Auburn fan base, how they all feel going into this Texas A&M game. There's a sense of hope. There's a sense of pride to be an Auburn football fan right now, and they are confident that Auburn can win tomorrow.
One of the best things that I've seen on social media this week, and this was last night, I think you were talking about this earlier in the show, Carter, but I haven't seen Tank Bigsby as excited to be at Auburn as I've seen him on social media, at least the past week.
During the game last week, it was noticeable
he was having a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I was like, we haven't seen the side of Tank Bigsby in 2 years plus. Right. It hasn't been that. I don't know if y'all watched his Instagram live video I did yesterday. There were maybe some not like that veiled shots at the fact that he was not the biggest Harsin fan, because when he's in the walkthrough room and he says, "Give Malzahn this facility," he doesn't talk about Harsin. He said, "And you win like 18 championships," which is just not true. But I get where he's coming from. Like, Malzahn's his guy. But that's been the way we've seen it with several guys, including Landon King. But I believe that having his position coach as the head coach, somebody that is Cadillac Williams, is the reason why Tank Bigsby is still at Auburn.
Yeah.
And Tank Bigsby, regardless of how people feel about him and the potential that he might transfer, the potential that he could leave, Tank Bigsby loves Auburn. He does. I've heard him say it from his own mouth about what this place means to him. And seeing him having fun, seeing him enjoying his time, seeing him excited about the future,
that may or may not have him. He can go to the NFL. And, like, so the future of Auburn football may not be with Tank Bigsby. But to see him as excited as he is tells me everything I need to know about what this interim staff has done, how the culture has shifted in 10 days from what it was with Brian Harsin. Because, dadgummit, it was awful under Brian Harsin.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's interesting you say that about his relationship with Gus Malzahn. It seems like there's a lot of former players that have that with Gus Malzahn. And I think
because Gus made it clear to them that he cared about them.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I think Gus has a very good ability to be able to bring in guys like that and show them that they are part of the family. I think where it gets lost sometimes is a lot of guys tend to follow him. Maybe I'll use this terminology, kind of follow him blindly. And it seems like that they don't see a lot of the things that maybe some other fans see.
Yeah, that's the one thing that has been a little annoying with some former Auburn players that have used the failure and the shortcomings of Brian Harsin and the firing of Brian Harsin as evidence that Gus Malzahn should still be the head coach at Auburn. And those are not equal things.
Yeah. And that's just not the case.
Yes. Like, Gus Malzahn had reached his ceiling at Auburn. Yeah. He was not going to get better.
It was time.
And then he did. I mean, to be honest with you, the way that he recruited that final year, there was no way he could come back. And then especially after he had the, and I come back to this quote all the time, his 6 wins is a good year at Auburn, yeah, quote, was unacceptable. So I hate when that is used as evidence, because the failure and the fraud that Brian Harsin is not evidence that Gus Malzahn should still be the head coach at Auburn. Right. It's just that those two are not equal things.
I agree. I think those are two separate things. And again, Malzahn's time at Auburn was done. I mean, it had reached its end, and I think most people were in agreement with that.
No doubt, and people will look back fondly on Malzahn's tenure.
As they should.
Because the highs were awesome. He beat Alabama several times. He went to a national championship game. He won the SEC once. He went to another SEC championship game. There were phenomenal moments. But you were up against the ceiling at the end.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Look, we got to get to our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll make our final picks for Auburn and Texas A&M, and we'll wrap up this Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, joined by Jack Hutton in studio as we have just about 4 minutes or so before we get out of here. Be sure you stay tuned, though, to Be the Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck live from Skybar. They are on location this evening from 4 to 6 down there at Skybar downtown, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
Should we go rapid-fire picks on the games that we haven't gotten to?
Rapid-fire. Yeah, we can do rapid-fire picks real quick. Just kind of a reminder, and if we haven't mentioned them, I want to really, really quickly. All of our live events coming up this week, or this weekend, I should say, here on ESPN. Obviously, over on Wings 94.3, we've got Auburn High football tonight. Over again, Wings 94.3, our sister station. Kickoff is at 7. Broadcast time is 6:30 with Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Cudden on the Auburn High School Sports Network. They play Dothan in the AHSAA quarterfinals, so be sure you tune in for that. And then live events coming up this weekend here on ESPN 106.7. It's an incredible weekend for football. Tomorrow we have Alabama and Ole Miss, the game of the week in the SEC. That'll start at 2 o'clock. Then we have TCU at Texas, the game of the week in the Big 12. That'll be at 6 o'clock. After both of those games, these two gentlemen will be doing After the Game, presented by Urgent Care Clinic, after Auburn and Texas A&M. You guys will probably go live around 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere in there. Then on Sunday, we've got two NFL games, Jaguars at Chiefs at 11 a.m., and then Cardinals at Rams at 3 o'clock. Let's do rapid-fire picks really quick, then we'll get final thoughts on Auburn, Texas A&M. We already talked about Alabama, Ole Miss. How about UCF and Tulane? This is an interesting one.
Look, I don't trust Gus Malzahn in big games. Tulane's kind of awesome. They run the ball really well. Give me Tulane in the game that should be game day.
I agree with the part about Gus Malzahn not doing well in big games. Tulane has been very impressive this year. That's why they're a ranked team.
They beat K-State.
Yes, they also beat our Kansas State Wildcats. But they are a ranked team, so that makes me feel a little bit better. Yeah, give me Tulane.
I like Tulane as well. One-word answers here. Oregon, Washington, who wins?
Oregon.
Oregon in the Heisman winner.
But Washington covers.
Washington covers. Oregon is favored by 13. That's a good pick. I like that. Georgia, Mississippi State. Georgia favored by 16.5 on the road.
Georgia by a boatload.
Georgia by a crap ton.
TCU, Texas.
TCU.
TCU on the road to keep their college football playoff hopes alive.
Yep.
Texas.
I like Texas as well. I like Texas to win Saturday night in Austin. I think it'll be a good, good game. I think Texas wins. Final thoughts, Auburn, Texas A&M. Who wins and why?
I've got Auburn by 17.
I think they dominate this game. 17?
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Auburn by 17 from Carter. Jack, Auburn, Texas A&M. Who wins?
I don't know if it's by that much, but I see this as like a 33-20 game or so, something in there. I think Auburn gets a weird score somewhere in there.
So you're saying like basically like a field goal off of my score?
Yeah, either.
Like close?
Yeah, close. Not a field goal. Well, it is. It's 1 point more than a field goal. Okay.
I'm saying field goal. Thank
and
you.
Carter gets another touchdown. Sure.
I like Auburn to win tomorrow, God. Which doesn't bode well for us if Texas A&M wins on Saturday. I think Auburn will just play well. I think they'll feed off the atmosphere. I think A&M is a falling program. If Auburn wins, are we sitting here on Monday talking about Jimbo Fisher fired from Texas A&M?
I'm still going to say no, actually. I think I've changed my stance. 4-8 A&M is going to be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's going to be the funniest thing.
We'll see.
Because top 6 recruiting classes all the way until this last year, number 1 best class ever. You still suck because Jimbo Fisher is garbage.
Enjoy a busy sports weekend here in the Auburn area. Auburn High tonight over on Wings 94.3, 6:30 kickoff at 7. We'll talk to you on Monday about everything going on. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.